Welcome to Coffee Break with Sharp Best Health. Every week, we sip on a strong new blend of practical tips, information, and education to help you optimize your health, body, and mind. Your hosts are Janice, Emily, Megan, and Olga. Your break starts now.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to A Coffee Break with Sharp Best Health. This is Emily, and today I am joined by Shaunette Smith, Senior Specialist at Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital and Licensed Marriage and Family Therapist. Thank you so much for being here, Shaunette.
Good morning, Emily. Thanks so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
I love recording podcasts with you. I feel like it's always such a fun conversation.
It is. We just gel well together.
We do. So it's funny because we typically write out, or we try to write out introductions for our scripts or for our podcast so we have something to follow. But I was having kind of a hard time coming up with something today. The topic that we're going to be talking about is managing difficult conversations. And I don't know about you, but for these past 18 plus months, at this point, I'm not even sure how long it's been. There have been so many difficult conversations, you know, whether it be with family members or friends or colleagues, you know, between the social unrest, our political view differences, opinions on the pandemic, and really everything in the middle. It kind of feels like there's always a heavy topic coming up in discussions. Has this been your experience?
It has. And, you know, as you were talking, I was shaking my head. Yes, yes, right, nodding in agreement. This is such a, I think, a poignant topic and something that everyone, no matter where you come from, what your background is, what your political or, you know, views on anything are, really, like, there is some discomfort. And ironically enough, I was having this conversation with my family last night, and you know, my dad had some really great points to share about this.
Oh, well, I'm excited to hear what your dad had to say. I feel like that dads always have this great wisdom.
They do. Agreed.
Well, no, I'm glad to hear, you know, that I'm not alone in this. I think that, you know, having these difficult conversations arise is something that many of us can relate to. And we're sort of all in this learning process together. So I'm curious, from your corner of the world, Shaunette, what advice or thoughts would you have to someone who wants to be better prepared for when these hard conversations do arise and how to navigate the emotions that come with them? This is something that I personally wonder. I always think about, you know, for me personally, when difficult conversations come up, I can feel myself sort of tense up and really want to avoid the conflict. But then I find myself not diving into really important conversations that need to happen. So I would like to personally be better prepared for when, you know, these difficult conversations do arise. What should I say? What should I do? What should I think about? So I'm curious, from your perspective, what your thoughts on this are.
That's a great question, first and foremost. I think one that many of us ask ourselves routinely. Mm-hmm. And I think first and foremost, I want to say this has been my most favorite phrase throughout, I don't know, my life in general, but know thyself. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is really know where you are on a particular day, right? This goes back to checking in with ourselves. And you know, Sharp has really invited us to check in with ourselves through stress first aid. I think it's really great in many ways because on any given day, right, first and foremost, we are, before we are doctors or nurses or therapists or business professionals, we are humans. Mm. And humans are filled with so much emotion on any given day, ranging from sadness to happiness and joy, right? And we have lives and we wear so many hats, from parenting of children or pets to being a spouse or a significant other to someone, to being family members and caregivers and, you know, artists, and all of those things come with lots of different emotions. So really, I encourage you to first and foremost, check in with yourself. Are you in a space to even have this conversation, whatever it is, from, you know, I don't know, a fight with a spouse or, you know, someone that you care about, to talking politics or religion or social injustice. Really just check in with yourself, because if you're not in a space to have that conversation, it's not going to be a productive, or what my grandparents would say, a fruitful conversation, right? And yeah. We want our conversations to be meaningful. And 9 times out of 10, when we are having these conversations, they're not with the random human in line at Target or Costco, right? Or Henry's. It's with someone that you feel a connection, whether that's your coworker because you share space with that person, or if it is a close friend, or maybe even a distant friend on Facebook, right? And social media has a lot of these conversations happening, and a lot of relationships are being affected by these conversations, because I think what we're failing to realize as a people is that we're all entitled to our opinions. We are all entitled to our belief systems, our value systems, our own moral compass. And those don't always gel with the person next to you. But that doesn't mean that there can't be a meaningful relationship there.
Right. And there should be sort of this diversity of thoughts and ideas and belief systems. And somehow it seems as though being able to express those thoughts and ideas and beliefs in a way that is productive and even healthy for a relationship has gotten to be much harder in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, we are all, again, I go back to emotional beings, right? Whether we want to admit it or not, there are plenty of people that I've encountered throughout my life that say, I'm not emotional. Well, that statement is kind of emotional. So I beg to differ. And, right, it's how worth it is to to convince someone that they are emotional, right? But you can have a meaningful relationship and not agree. Yeah. And in this space, again, there are, there's like the collective emotion of the world that is reeling. And then there is the, right, like if you looked at it from like a micro, meso macro approach, right, macro being the largest of them all, and micro being the smallest of them all. So like us, we are the micro of the emotion, and then the world is like, has this emotional pulse, and that's like the macro. And then in our individual communities, whether that's your community at work or your community in your religious beliefs, or your community in your political beliefs, or your community just in your house, right those are the meso emotions, right? If you will, I'm trying to draw this picture for you. So there are so many emotions, and so I think being considerate of that, being aware of that before we enter into a conversation, and again, I go back to, is it fruitful? As a therapist, I always want to go to kind of the fair fighting rules, right? And I feel both this happiness in talking about the fair fighting rules in this moment of having a conversation, and I feel this kind of questioning attitude of, is that right? Like, should I go into a conversation thinking about the fair fighting rules? Emphasis on fighting. Because a conversation doesn't have to be a fight.
Right. And no, you're right. You're exactly right. Can you have a meaningful and potentially, you know, controversial or difficult conversation without it turning into this conflict or argument? So it sounds like sort of the first step is to kind of turn inward and look at yourself. And I know we talk a lot about mindfulness and the importance of it. So it sort of sounds like this could be an area where mindfulness, practicing mindfulness, would help you in being able to look inside yourself and say, am I in a place where I can have this conversation and it end up where I would like it to be? I know, you know, for myself, there are days when I feel like I have the emotional capacity to dive into these conversations. And there are other days where I know I can't. And so let's say, just out of curiosity, let's say that you have had a really tough day and stressed out, lots of things happening, and somebody says something where it sort of invites this conversation that you might not want to go down in the moment. How would you respond in that moment if you know that you're in a place where you don't want to go there, or you want to pause it until you're in a place where you feel like you could have a meaningful conversation? What do you say to that person?
That is a great question, Emily. And I go back to ask for what you need. Know yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel like a broken record, and I'm comfortable in that space in this moment because it's true. You have to pour into yourself what you need. And if someone is engaging you in a conversation that you were just not able to have in that moment, capable of having in that moment, it's okay to say, you know, I don't know that I really want to have this conversation right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm very interested in the topic and would like to have this conversation with you another time, if that is true, obviously, for yourself.
Right.
You know, but now is not a good time for me to delve into that.
Right. So sort of having almost a canned response or something that you can pull out where you feel comfortable telling somebody else, you know, I can't do this right now, essentially. But being able to think about it ahead of time so that you're able to say it and not sort of get flustered in the moment.
Well, and not even a canned response. I'm going to channel my now 8-year-old nephew, who was 6 when he said this to me, but the no thank you,
mm-hmm.
right? That we don't have to have a canned response. We can say no, and right. in fact should, and I think this is an appropriate use of should as a therapist, right? That we should say no sometimes, because it doesn't serve us to say yes to everything, especially these, what I'm going to call, you know, heated conversations. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't always say yes to him because, one, we are in jeopardy of changing the dynamic of a relationship, upsetting ourselves further, or saying things that we really don't mean.
Right.
Right? And that the power of no thank you, mm-hmm. is, I'm not in a space to have this right now, or I don't want this right now. And it's no right now. Thank you for the ask. Maybe later.
Right.
Right. Right. And I want to just quickly go back to the fair fighting rules, right? Again, that anytime you go into any sort of conversation, with someone, no matter what it is, really, you know, check your emotional pulse on that, right? Why are you upset about this topic? And then try to stay focused on one topic. It's very easy, I think, especially in this time, for us to topic jump, where we start out talking about maybe religion or social unrest, mm-hmm. and then tied within that, we get so flustered that we jump to something else.
Yes.
You know, don't use degrading language. Be very mindful of the words that you are choosing to use to express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then express your feelings in words, right? I feel scared when you yell. I feel hurt when you ignore my calls. Those are just some basic examples that have nothing to do with like a religious or social unrest or political conversation.
No,
they're very benign, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. And then take turns. We tend to overtalk each other in these types of conversations because we feel so strongly about getting our point across. But you can't get your point across if no one's listening.
Mm.
right? So really take turns. And then I think don't just shut down, right? And that would be like stonewalling. Don't shut down. Express yourself. I'm feeling really overwhelmed and flustered by this right now and my maybe inability to articulate myself or what I feel like you're not listening. And I think it best if we just take a time out away from this conversation. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to yell. It's very easy for us to raise our voices. And, you know, I think also being mindful of speaking passionately versus yelling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can look up the fair fighting rules. Emily will post them actually attached to this podcast for you guys. But I think, you know, just learn to say no when no is appropriate. You don't have to necessarily have a canned response. You can, for these types of things, and you can rehearse it most certainly. I don't ever think that's a bad idea per se. But also, I just want to really encourage people to use no and know the power of no, right? Like, just no, thank you. Channel that 6-year-old little cute person inside of yourself and no, thank you. I'm not ready for this.
Yeah, you're right. And everything you said is, I think, spot on and so, so difficult to do at times, right? And so I think thinking through these things ahead of time is key about thinking, how do I want to respond? What is my end goal with these conversations? Are these conversations that I do want to have? And if the answer is no, that's okay. And if the answer is yes, that is also okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we kind of went down the road of, no, I don't want to have this conversation, or not right now. Mm-hmm. Let's say you do want to have this conversation, right? You are having a good discussion with a friend or a family member or colleague, and it's an important topic that you want to dive into, but it could also kind of go, you know, a way that you might not necessarily want it to go. So what advice would you give to somebody who you find yourself in this conversation and you want to stay there? What are some things that we can do to sort of make sure that it doesn't go to a place where we don't want it to go?
Wow, that's a real crystal ball kind of question, Emily.
I saved them all for you, Shaunette. Oh, and by the way, Shaunette doesn't know I'm asking these questions, so sorry for putting you on the spot. We're kind of just going with how the conversation's going, so...
I love it. I love it because, right, like you get the authentic me.
Yeah.
You keep me on my toes, Emily. That is for sure. But so I don't have a crystal ball. If I did, I would definitely play the lotto numbers. So I think I say that to say we can never guarantee that a conversation will go how we want it because, again, we are dealing with humans and humans are – varied in response, in emotion, and that, you know, changes from moment to moment, day to day. I think what you can, when we think about wanting a conversation to go our way, I want to take a pause there and really encourage people to think about what that statement means to you individually.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want something to go your way, that sort of automatically implies that you have an agenda where you're trying to maybe pull someone to your side.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm air quoting that. And I realize you guys all can't see me. And I don't know that is a fair thing to do, right?
No.
Because you're trying to convince someone of their wrongness and your rightness.
Right.
And so I want people to be aware of that and caution of that. And I think that ultimately the goal of any conversation, right, with anything is we all want to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And we all want to be seen as human, as valuable, as, you know, contributing something.
Absolutely.
And if we can sit in that space and remember that we don't have to, we can have meaningful conversations with people and they don't have to agree with us for us to make an impact.
Right.
Right? That we are able to articulate what it is that we feel, value, see as right versus wrong. And that we are willing to also hear someone else out and see what they value, see mm-hmm. what they feel is right or wrong is going to be important. And I think the close of a good conversation, right, the conclusion of that is if you can walk away from a conversation that is emotionally charged, but the relationship is intact at the end of the conversation and both people feel that they were heard and their viewpoints are respected. And notice I use respect, not agreed with, because I don't have to agree with you to respect you.
Right.
But I respect that that is your viewpoint and you respect that this is my viewpoint. And I hear what you're saying. I don't agree with it, but I hear what you're saying. That's a good conversation.
Yeah, and I think there's so much power in the words that you just said. I hear what you're saying. I don't, and you can say, I have a different viewpoint than you, but I hear you. And maybe I should go back and sort of rephrase that initial question. I feel like there are so many times when you're in these difficult conversations and you start to get your heart rate up and you feel flustered and you're trying to figure out, you know, how do I navigate this? And I think you answered that question so well in just being able to recognize A, that, you know, what you're feeling and why you're feeling it, but also to take a step back and not jump in with your opinion or the response to what somebody else says, but to really take the time and actively listen to what the other person is saying, which, right, we can do with our body language by asking really great questions, by making eye contact, and so that sort of changing the goal of the conversation, right, is not to, it's not to convince the other person or sort of step on the conversation, but rather to really embrace what is happening in the moment and make the other person feel heard, even if you don't necessarily agree with what they're saying.
Yeah, and if you look at any great debater, right, it's, there is this element of I want to convince you, again, of your wrongness and my rightness. But I think the real takeaway to any great debate is, can I get you to think about your side and where you sit mm-hmm. against my side and where I sit and mm-hmm. where there may be room for growth or mm-hmm. change mm-hmm. or a slight shift, right? Because what we're not going to do in any of these conversations that we're having, first and foremost, is we are not converting anyone.
Right.
Right? Like, people are strong in their stance, and why these conversations get so heated is because they are firmly planted in their belief system. They are rooted there. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about, like, a tree, I'm going to give you an analogy. Roots are deep. And if you mm-hmm. want to, you know, pull an oak tree up out of a yard, you can't just cut down the stump, you know, cut it down to its stump. You've got to remove those roots.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of work and time mm-hmm. and effort to remove roots of a firmly planted tree.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
If we take that and we compare it to people, right? People's belief systems didn't develop overnight. They developed over time, over years, right? And they are rooted in people's families a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And to get someone to think differently from their family if they're not already thinking differently from their family is a hard sell, because in some cases, me thinking differently than my family means I'm turning my back on my family.
Mm.
Right? So these conversations are really rooted in so much more than what we see or feel on the surface.
Right.
And so if we can have some consideration for that and really go into these conversations with the idea of, can I get you to think in a more global manner? I think that's the win, right? It's planting the seed of getting you to think, you know, left or right, forward or backward, up or down. Right? Not getting you to move in that direction, but getting you to think in that direction. Because if I plant a thought into your mind of a different perspective, then what happens is that thought is like a seed, and life is the water, and life circumstances are going to happen with or without us. And now that I've planted that seed, that person is now thinking in their own way about what I've said, in comparison to what they see in the world.
Mm.
And they're able to make their own decisions. And at the end of the day, that's what we want. We want people making their own decisions and not being, I'm going to use this term and I'm going to use it lighter than what it is, brainwashed.
Mm.
Right? I don't want to brainwash you into thinking how I think. I want to open your eyes to the possibility of a different way of viewing whatever it is I believe in.
Right.
So that you can then develop your own belief system about it, and maybe it more closely aligns with mine. Maybe it doesn't. But maybe it just gets you to see everyone as people, and then the harshness of the things that are happening start to change.
Mm, I love that. And I love the tree analogy that you gave. It sort of puts into perspective, right, that what we see on the surface is very little of what actually is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you mentioned that being able to listen to perspective is so important, and understand that people come to the belief systems that they have for a reason is incredibly important to understanding, you know, what makes up a person and what they think. You know, there's a really great resource that I wanted to mention. There's two. One is called The Bridging Differences Playbook by the Greater Good Science Center. And they use, it's an initiative that mixes sort of science and storytelling to help address one of the most urgent issues of our time, which is political and cultural polarization.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other resources that they also recommend in the Bridging Differences Playbook is called Open Mind. It's a course. It's series or courses within the series. And Open Mind, it's a nonprofit that builds educational tools to equip people with the habits of heart and mind to engage in constructive dialogue across differing backgrounds and beliefs. And I am going through the Open Mind course right now. It's phenomenal, and I keep telling everybody about it. But one of the things that they talk about is how do we build sort of this moral framework that we all, you know, each of us has, and how does that come to be? How do we build our belief systems and our values? Really fascinating for understanding the psychology of how we get to where we are, how we're all presented with certain facts, and we gather different information about that. So I did want to mention, and I'll link both of those resources in the show notes, but I thought that it intersected perfectly with what you were saying, Seanette, in terms of really understanding the bigger picture of our own belief systems, and then how other people build theirs as well.
Yeah, I think that that is great. I'm really excited. I know we've talked offline about those things, those resources, and I'm really excited to explore them for myself as well.
Yeah. Super, super great resources. I'll also share in the show notes the Fair Fighting Rules that Seanette mentioned earlier. There is a really great short video. I believe it's also through the Greater Good Science Center. It's called What Happens When Political Opponents Get to Know Each Other. A really, really great short video. I think it's about 5 minutes. There is an article written called 5 Ways to Have Better Conversations Across Difference. So I'll include that in the show notes as well. And then I really love, there's a tool online called 36 Questions for Increasing Closeness. And it's divided up sort of by the depth of questions. So they start off pretty soft and easy to answer, like, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite, you know? But then you sort of go down these tiers and they get a little bit more personal or a little bit more personal. And I think these are great questions to have sort of in your back pocket for when you're wanting to have really good, meaningful conversations with people or you're trying to get to know each other. So I'll share all of those in the show notes. And so I know we're kind of wrapping up here on time. So,
Can I just mention one last thing?
So I
mentioned earlier that, you know, my family and I had a conversation yesterday at my dad's birthday dinner. And, you know, my dad was talking about, like, you know, obviously my dad, well, maybe not obviously because people don't know, they're not able to see. I'm a black woman. and my father's a black man. And we were having this conversation, and my father's not a Republican. And he has a couple of close friends who are, you know, pretty staunch Republicans. And I think these are very lovely humans. And so my dad was saying last night that, you know, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, basically. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it's like any good relationship, right? Like, you're not going to divorce your partner because they don't wash the dishes or do the laundry the way you want. I mean, maybe somebody will, but I don't know that that is the best reason for a divorce without being judgmental of why somebody chooses to leave a relationship. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That really just brings us to think about why you were in that relationship with that person, whether it's a friendship, a siblingship, you know, friendship, whatever, a, you know, romantic relationship. Think about why. And we're always going to have some differences, and make that determination for yourself, right? Like, is this enough to change the dynamic, split, you know, part ways of this relationship, or can we come to a place of landing that is one of mutual respect and understanding that I don't agree with you and I value you. And if that is true on both sides, you can have differences in your political, social, religious views. So that's, you know, I really want people to take those things away.
Right? You're really
analyzing, is this? And sometimes the answer, unfortunately, is yes. And I think if we really, sometimes the answer is no. Mm-hmm. And it's important to know that difference.
You're absolutely right. Being able to hold both truths in one hand, right? Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your stories and your wisdom, Seanette. It's always a pleasure being able to have these conversations, and hopefully we can do another one soon. I think this is a, you know, very relatable topic to so many, including myself. So I really appreciate it. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Again, all of those resources that we mentioned will be linked in the show notes. And, of course, if you have any questions, you can reach out to us, sharpbesthealth@sharp.com. And if you have questions for Seanette, you can either email her or email us, and we'll make sure those questions get to her as well.
It was lovely being here with you. Thanks so much for the invitation, Emily.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Download this episode and find more great information on health and wellness by visiting Sharp Best Health on sharp.net.